The Tao of Self-Confidence, episode 350.
Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. Visit our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host today, Sheena Yap Chan, and today before I introduce today's guest, I just wanted to let you know that today will be the last episode for Season 2, and we'll be back again on Season 3 on September 1st, 2017, so feel free to check past episodes of Women's Stories, feel free to re-listen or download them or subscribe, and I just want to thank you for your continued support as always. It's been such an amazing experience to be doing this podcast, and you know, I'm really excited for Season 3 to come out, but before we get to Season 3, I would love to introduce you to today's guest. She is the host of the Project Voice podcast, and I'm just really excited to have her on and share her story with us today. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Jessica Nguyen. Jessica, how are you today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit more about yourself to our listeners.
Hi, yes. My name is Jessica. I'm a recent graduate of Smith College, class of 2016, now currently residing in Boston, working as an executive assistant slash office manager at a startup, and freelance content creator. As a freelancer, I've worked on numerous creative projects from blogging to copywriting to photography to video editing to my current project, podcasting. Project Voice, which is a series aimed at empowering Asian American women. I'm also an aspiring digital social entrepreneur who has goals to achieve in 2017, and they are to travel the world and continue experimenting with new forms of digital media that will allow more Asian Americans to share their own unique narratives. My ultimate goal in the far future is to one day be able to fight human trafficking my own way.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And Jessica, what's your cultural background?
Both of my parents are refugee survivors of the Vietnam War. They immigrated here to the U.S. in the 1980s. I usually identify myself as Vietnamese American or Vietnamese Chinese American. I hope that one day I'll be able to create a digital narrative project on their history growing up in Vietnam.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And what would be your favorite self-confidence quote?
My favorite quote on self-confidence is from Milk and Honey. It's a book written by one of my all-time favorite poets, Ruby Carr. She wrote, "What's the greatest lesson that a woman can learn?" And that is that since day one, she's already had everything she needs within herself. It's the world that convinced that she did not. I have this quote up in my room to serve as a reminder that it is just as important to remember how far I've come as it is to have faith in myself and how far I can still go.
That's a great quote, and it's, you know, it's so true. Like, we all have what it takes to create a life that we want. It's just sometimes society or maybe our families kind of like tell us to just follow a certain way, not realizing like there's so many avenues that we can take to create the life that we want. And, you know, we can cater it to our, how we want to do it, how we want to live, you know, it, and sky's the limit. And, you know, sometimes it's just a shame that we think that we're just stuck to one thing or stuck in this box or stuck in this one way. So I really like that quote that you mentioned. And in your own words, how do you define self-confidence?
My definition of self-confidence would be the ability to not only feel empowered by your personal strengths, but also feel comfortable with sharing your vulnerabilities with others, embracing yourself as a whole, and not just investing in and appreciating the parts that make you feel good about yourself. I believe that once you can embrace your vulnerabilities, you don't really have anything to fear, and that's when true self-confidence can be achieved.
Thanks for sharing that. That was a great definition. And you know, Jessica, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
I actually think I am still on this journey towards self-confidence. In fact, I think that everybody is on a constant journey towards self-confidence in one area or another. We may be really confident in knowing and doing in areas that we're already talented and interested in, but not so much in areas where our interests don't align or we haven't spent as much time on. For me, it was communicating in English. Whether it was through writing or speaking, I was just really quiet and timid in class in high school and my first year in college. I had a really soft-spoken voice, which made it a bit more difficult to be heard. And it was something that was a huge, that has been a huge struggle for me to reclaim. Speaking wasn't second nature for me at all. So growing up in an underrepresented community, I became the first in the family to go to an out-of-state college on a scholarship. Attending a private liberal arts college made me realize that I had a lot to catch up. In high school, I wasn't used to speaking out as much in classroom discussions, nor did I feel comfortable doing so when I started attending Smith. I could barely put my thoughts into sentences, much less feel equipped enough to use higher level vocabulary. Like, the vocabulary that was used to promote really thought-provoking dialogues that challenge a lot of the status quo in society nowadays. I think my past inability to speak English comfortably was heavily influenced by my upbringing, which was growing up as a first child to immigrant parents who had to tackle on English themselves. So when I took my first Asian American Studies course, as passionate as I was about the subject, I noticed the difficulties I experienced not being able to come up with the right words sometimes during class discussions. I'd say that having access to vocabulary that promotes higher level thinking is a privilege. And I feel so grateful for being a part of a community of women who are not only extremely intelligent, but also caring and compassionate and just all about fighting social injustices. As a matter of fact, it's the knowledge that I've gained from my very socially conscious collegiate peers that empowers me to actively engage in dialogues that I find important to always be involved in, especially dialogues that pertain to race, class, sexuality, gender, feminism. Like, yeah, just Smith women have really taught me to stand my ground and share my voice for others who couldn't.
Thanks for sharing that, Jessica. And, you know, when I first came to Canada, I also had struggle with speaking English, and it was like I had to take ESL classes. And you know, when we aren't too confident in speaking a different language, we do tend to like quiet down and feel like, you know, maybe if we say something, we might feel stupid or whatever, right? But it happens, and I'm glad you're able to get out of that. And you know, what was that point in your life when you realized, you know, you were more than enough, you know, you weren't as timid, you had the confidence to go out and do the things that you wanted?
So I overcame my struggle with, so English has been a huge struggle for me, really, even now, sometimes. But my relationship with the language has definitely been better than years ago, than when I was like back in high school or college. So I overcame my struggle with writing more quickly than speaking, because at least writing gave me the time to gather and organize my thoughts before hitting that publish button. Writing became my medium to share my voice. I blogged often and even wrote articles for a town newsletter I founded. This underground newsletter of mine really spearheaded my passion in making a difference on marginalized communities, because after seeing how one article of mine led to the passing of a $100,000 lighting project proposal, trumping the corrupted trustee board in my town at that time, I knew that I wouldn't stop there. I couldn't stop there. So what's so great about freelance content creation projects that I work on, is that they allow me to provide a platform for others with visions that align to mine to share their voices, or for those who are in too disadvantaged of a position to have a voice. So even if I can't share as much knowledge on a particular subject as I like, I'm at least supporting someone who can. However, these projects don't offer that many opportunities for me to personally share my voice because I'm the one creating content for somebody else. To lead a project about a subject that I want to share a lot of my voice of, me aka Asian American studies, Asian American women's issues, means that I have to force myself even further out of my comfort zone. So I knew what I was getting myself into when I started Project Voice, just realizing that I will have to speak. I will have to speak up and speak out in order to be heard and in order to really achieve the impact that I want to make.
Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, sometimes just writing things down can really give you a lot of clarity, kind of like just dumping all your thoughts on a piece of paper. There's just something magical about it. And it's a great exercise to do. And, you know, it's great that you were able to, you know, create content that can make a difference, create content for others, and then force you to create Project Voice. And because of that, what's your life been like now?
So the reason why I founded Project Voice was that I wanted to contribute to a community that I'm a part of and care about. I've met so many awesome and inspiring Asian American women in my life that I just felt this need, this strong need to share their narratives as well as mine. It's been several months since I founded the podcast, and it's been such a gratifying feeling to know that there are people out there who want to listen to my podcast, that there are people out there who can really relate and find comfort and solidarity through the conversations I've had on Project Voice. Honestly, that was really all I wanted. Hearing how others have responded to my podcast has given me motivation to work even harder. So in the future, I hope to continue working on Project Voice for at least one more season, and then depending on the type of growth that I'm experiencing with it, I may either continue investing in producing more audio narratives for the Project Voice podcast or challenge myself to create more visual stories that I have yet but would love to tell, which would most likely be found on a platform like YouTube. Truth be told, I would actually be pretty excited about the idea of embarking on a new chapter that would focus on videos and would still touch on a community in some way.
Thanks for sharing that, Jessica. And you know, it's great that you're doing something that you're passionate about and making a difference at the same time. For me, I love podcasting. It's a great platform. It's a great platform for me to share what I love, which is helping other women see their worth, see what they're, you know, what they're capable of. And, you know, everyone has their own platform to share their voice. And I think a lot of people forget that. So, you know, thanks for sharing that. And, you know, to the woman who's listening to your episode, she may be in her own journey of self-confidence. What would be that one tip you would give to her?
Yeah, my advice would be just create as much as you can. Be confident in your ability to make a difference on the world through your own creation. Every personal, passionate project you take on is a life of its own. You never really know how much of an impact it has on others, how much happiness it can create for you and others without really trying it out.
That's a great tip. You know, just create, right? It's just do without thinking, and you never know what could happen. So thanks for sharing that great quote. Great tip, sorry. And, you know, if our listeners wanted to check out your podcast or get to know a little bit more about you and what you do, is there any links or social media profiles we could connect with?
Oh, yeah. Besides my podcast, you can find my podcast on iTunes, Project Voice, of course. Also, you're welcome to follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/projectvoiceaaw, or Twitter at projectvoiceaaw. Also, I have an email, so if you would like to get in touch with me by email, you can through projectvoiceaaw@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And to our listeners, if you want to connect with Jessica, you can also head on over to thetaoofselfconfidence.com. And search for Jessica's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else we talked about. And I just want to thank Jessica for taking the time to share her story with us. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sheena.
Not a problem. It was an honor having you on the show. And listeners, just a reminder that this is the last episode for season 2, and we'll be back for season 3 on September 1st, 2017. And thank you for your continued support. Feel free to, you know, check out past episodes, re-listen to past episodes, download them, subscribe. We'll see you on September 1st, 2017 for season 3. Thank you again, and talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Want to learn how you can use podcasting to market your business? Download your free report by visiting our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.